Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan, and I have Mikey and John joining me to recap what I think is going to be a sad and downtrodden episode. A game Illinois looked to have in their grasps, ended up coming away losers 19-17. Michigan finished the game off with some favorable penalty calls, some questionable penalty calls, some field goals, and it slipped right past us.
Yeah, you know, tough to see that field goal go in on the last drive there. I mean, anybody who was watching the game knew that their kicker, Moody, is just money. So you knew it was going in. But, you know, I thought, you know, we played well. You know, the first drive of the game, they go, you know, in 4 minutes right down the field. And my first thought was, oh, no, like this is going to be a long afternoon for the Illini. But, you know, we settled in. You know, they had packed on the road, 110,000 fans. And really, we really beat them the rest of the way. I mean, it took them four field goals the remaining 55 minutes of the game to, you know, ultimately beat us. And Dan, you mentioned the questionable calls, and, you know, that happens. But there's one that is just, you know, mind-blowing how it was not called on that fourth and two when the guy blocked Kendall Smith downfield, and it was so blatantly obvious. And I don't know, like, the announcers didn't talk about it, you know, it didn't seem to get much press on the highlights or any of that. So it was really interesting to see, you know, Illini fan for us, you know, a team that battled against the number three team in the country, you know, for the full 60 minutes, and then to have the game really decided by a blatantly missed call, which gets called 99% of the time. You know, to go out like that's disappointing, but, you know, for the glass half full mindset, I thought we, you know, obviously held our own. Dan, I know you tweeted some things out about the win expectancy, which, you know, I'm sure you were going to touch on that, but, you know, that's a game where, you know, we should have won. We beat them in a lot of, you know, a lot of the main categories, pretty similar on yardage. It just, you know, unfortunately didn't go our way.
Mikey, real quick, you mentioned the pick play. Would you mind just explaining, you know, what the rule is? Because I saw Braylon Edwards, former Michigan player, on Twitter saying, if you know football, the slot corner press the receiver at 2 yards. He's allowed to beat the press. And, you know, he was thinking that that was a legal play. From your perspective, obviously, you played the receiver position. Would you mind just explaining, mm-hmm. you know, what that rule is?
Yeah. So the moment I saw the replay of that play, because I didn't catch it initially at first, my dad actually sent me the clip of it. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, why didn't the announcers touch on this? That is definitely a missed call. It brought me back to, so every year during fall camp, the lead or all the Big Ten refs, they go to every single Big Ten team and they officiate a scrimmage. And with that, they also do like an hour and a half, like meeting session where they go over new rules, you know, things that like the targeting was big when I first started out. So they would come in, go over all new rule changes. You know, it would give us a chance to ask them questions. And I remember vividly, you know, John O'Neill, the head Big Ten referee, was in our meeting and he talked about the 1 yard rule. And within 1 yard, you know, the receiver can, you know, essentially block like what that guy was doing. But after that, you know, if the pass is going to go downfield, but if screen plays, all that, you know, obviously it's a little different. But he said 1 yard, maybe two. You know, you might get lucky on there, but not 4 to 5 like that guy was doing. And we put a play in, Coach McGee put a play in where, you know, if they were lined up pressed and there was 3 guys to the side of the field, you know, the 2 far side guys would just come down and crack the second man and the third man from the sideline because they were within that 1 to 2 yard radius. But you were not allowed to block them downfield. I mean, I don't know about the NFL rules, with Braylon Edwards was talking about, but that was definitely a missed call and one that should have been a 10 or 15 yard penalty, whatever it is, and replay the fourth down.
Yeah, that was just so disappointing. I mean, Danny can attest to it. We were in Vegas and enjoying, you know, some early morning drinks while watching the game. But I was hoping that that was going to be a better result. And ultimately, it's just disappointment all around. That call, like, I mean, I just immediately seeing that, like, I knew that was OPI, but then, you know, because it's on their sideline, that dude, and like, people can say that, oh, you know, that same ref, you know, missed the Tariq Barnes offsides. And I would say, yeah, like, there were calls that went for both teams, but in that moment, you can't have something on like a game deciding play. You can't swallow your whistle there. Like, that's inexcusable. You just, like, that was the most obvious, like, if you can see it on the broadcast copy from where our vantage point is at on, like, you know, a 40-inch television, if you can read it that simply, you can't swallow your whistle there. You just can't. But also, like, the disappointing factor on top of that is that, like, we should have won that game in spite of that, because it kind of came down to, like, I think most people who are Illinois fans, like understand that, yeah, like, not that we, like, we're always going to lose that game, but like, we could feel it trickling away as time went on. And it's not that coaches like need to have the same pulse as the fans do, because they don't have, like, you know, they're prepared because they're trying to win the game, and B, they don't have like the scarrings of fans. So they don't understand like the waves of that, you know, we've had for, you know, the past, you know, 5, 10, 12, however long you want to go back. But at the same time, like, we've seen that script before of just like, okay, like, we're not getting first downs here in like the fourth quarter. Like, this, at that point, you're playing not to lose the game. And that's not going to win you games against a top five team. And that's, I don't want to say inexcusable, but that's soft. Like, that's not something where, like, yeah, you don't need to be jacking up like 30 yard bombs to try and beat Michigan. I get that, but you can't just be going blasé, you know, three and out, hoping that you're and the defense stood on its head. But at a certain point, like, Michigan had guys getting open. Like, they were dropping passes. They had JJ McCarthy was looking average. Like, you can't just keep relying on that when they have as much talent as they do. So the fact that the demeanor of the game shifted when we went up, and then it turned into, okay, we're going to go into turtle mode, which I know this, but the thing that drives me crazy, then you're just trying to be like Wisconsin. You're trying to be Iowa. Like, do you not like have any hopes or aspirations to be better, to go in? And that's not to say they didn't want to win that game, but that kind of like conservative mentality that late in the game, take the risk, because now, like, you can the after effect, maybe you don't get that recruit who's now going to go to Michigan, or you don't get that recruit who's not going to go to some other, we'll go to the Wisconsin or the Iowa because they've been proving it for longer. And you're just going to do the same thing that they're doing, where you're just going to be conservative. You're going to try and stay in those games. You're going to try and bleed them out. I get that it worked against like Minnesota last year. I get that it worked against Wisconsin and Iowa and Minnesota this year. I get that. It's not going to work against the top Big Ten teams if you ever want to ascend to that level. So why not try to take the chances now? You're in the fourth quarter, step on their throats and eliminate them from, you know, have that letdown spot really come to fruition. Now it's just, oh, they, you know, they got by, but, you know, now they're going to be ready to go. And within the context of all that, I don't really care about Michigan season, but it's just so incredibly disappointing that, yes, you had a game-changing call. You had game-changing calls on that last drive. It should have never gotten to that point. You were running it down their throats, yes, but you can also mix it up. You can... they can dunk them down the field. Like, they were, it's just so freaking annoying and so disappointing. And I get that there are moral victories to it. I'm not, you know, beholden to just like, you know, getting after the staff, and it's not saying that, oh yeah, there's something to build on there, because there totally is. But if you want to like beat the big dogs in the long run, at a certain point, a switch has got to flip, and then you got to go for the throat.
I get what you're saying. I know Bielema's whole philosophy is, you know, first, to start winning games, you got to start by not beating yourselves, not turning the ball over, not doing that. So we kind of knew he was going to do that. Like, we've seen it all season. So it's not all that shocking. They kind of turtled, if you want to call it that, when it came to the fourth quarter, and they had possession of the ball, and at that point, possession of the game, seemed to be kind of in control. And then Michigan started getting stops, and, you know, the wind was in their favor in the fourth quarter. Their kicker started knocking them through, and all of a sudden things started shifting. And then, you know, obviously the calls don't help you at a point like that, where you're in front of the 110,000. I don't think it was sold out, because they kept panning out and it looked like parts of the stadium were empty. But regardless, you're in front of their home crowd. on their sideline on a couple of those calls. We talked about it last week with the Charlie Jones call, or, you know, non-call. Should have been OPI on the Illinois sideline. We didn't get that call. Then we're on their sideline. They get the call. You know, it seemed to just be one of those things where it's like, Illinois could, unless you take the ball away, we're not stopping them on that drive. At least it felt that way to me.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, as soon as we took the lead, you know, then they go down, they kick a field goal, and I was like, okay, good. Like, because we're going to keep them out of the end zone. They, like, J.J. McCarthy was just kind of all over the place. Their receivers were dropping balls. Their, you know, best player got hurt, which the announcers seemed to talk about all of, you know, Michigan's injuries. That's all they kept harping on. Look, at this point in the season, everybody's got players out. You know, Michigan is another 5 or 4 star who's right up in there. But, you know, I kind of felt like, John, you had touched on this, like just feeling that the game was slipping away. I knew that they weren't going to score a touchdown because I just thought our defense was playing extremely well, and Michigan just seemed incapable of putting together a full drive. But once they started creeping up, you know, past the 50, I'm like, okay, this is 3 points. This is 3 points. And then what do you know, the last drive, they kick it to, you know, win the game, which, you know, it sucks. And there are no moral victories, you know, in this. Obviously, we wanted to come out with a win. It would change the whole dynamic of our program. This would have been a staple win. It would have shook college football. It would have been all over the news. But, you know, instead the headline reads, you know, Illinois battles, but Michigan wins in the end. And at the, you know, at the end of the day, they have another win in their win column and we have another loss. But there are definitely things that, you know, we can build on. And hopefully it's a, you know, it's a loss where, you know, we had a 2-game slide coming into it, but it's one that should bring the confidence back up within that locker room, especially with, you know, a rival opponent coming up this weekend. So, yeah, a lot to take away from it, but would have liked to see us get the win.
The other thing we're not even, we haven't even mentioned yet is you win that game. Now there's a 3-way tie at the top of the Big Ten West, and now you beat Northwestern. And if Purdue takes care of Indiana, then you're potentially in there if Iowa also takes care of Nebraska. At that point, you have the 3-way tie. Illinois ends up, you know, winning that tiebreaker scenario, and you're in the playoffs. So not only was it disappointing in the context of one game and losing to a potential, you know, college football playoff team on the road, but you're talking about, you know, Big Ten championship implications both ways. Like, it wasn't just, oh, this goes for Michigan and their college football playoff and their Big Ten, you know, East championship. Like, Illinois had a chance there to kind of take back the driver's seat to some degree in the Big Ten West and potentially get that Big Ten championship bid. So it's also disappointing to me in that sense.
Yeah, it's so tough because, like, I know that within that rant, like, I talked about how, you know, the kid go, you know, couple kids go to Michigan instead of Illinois, or, you know, they go out, like, at the same time, like, I think maybe that's, I guess I'm getting greedy a little bit because, yeah, like, we have been blowing through all those stop signs, but just, like, if you want to be, like we had blown through all those stop signs, so this is kind of, like, the arrival moment, so that's why I don't necessarily, like, I get the context of, like, yeah, hopefully we go 8-4 this year in the regular season, and then, you know, if you stumble your way into the Big Ten championship, because I mean, you need a miracle at this point, but it could happen. It just sucks because, yeah, like, you could have been building off that, and then you take that next step, and it's really unfortunate, and you need a lot of things to break your way. But, yeah, hopefully you just go out there, take care of business against Northwestern, and then, you know, continue the good mo rolling.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the good, you know, from the game. Chase Brown, you know, obviously workhorse. You know, I felt like it was always the battle of him and Blake Corum. And Blake Corum is a dog. He's a beast. It was tough to see him go down. You know, you hate to see a player like that go down. You know, I hope he's all right. I hope he can play this weekend. But I thought, you know, Casey Washington, I thought he played pretty well. Had some big catches. You know, Tommy DeVito didn't do anything crazy good, but also didn't do anything crazy bad. You know, I thought he managed the game fairly well. He understands his role within the offense. Then the defense, you know, like we mentioned, I thought those guys held their own. against especially our defensive line. I mean, we didn't get any sacks. I knew it was going to be tough against a quarterback like J.J. McCarthy just because he's all over the place running. But Michigan, you know, has one of the best offensive lines in the country. And, you know, I thought our defensive line did a semi-good job holding their own. You know, there's things that they could have done better, obviously. But, you know, there is a lot of good to take away from that. And I want to make sure that we touch on it a little bit.
If there are any doubters left about the Illinois defense, I think they're no longer there, because you're talking about a top three team and a really good offense. And to your point, you know, holding them to 19 points and four field goals, only giving up that one touchdown, was pretty impressive. And, you know, McCarthy, who you said is kind of a dual threat, we were able to, you know, contain him when he tried to get outside the pocket. I thought a few of those, you know, RPOs where he decided he was going to take off, we contained him pretty well. So, you know, the Illinois defense is legit, has been legit, and, you know, hopefully two more games here against Northwestern and then a bowl team, they can prove it a couple more times and they'll get quite a few accolades. Players will get, you know, hopefully the recognition at the end of the season. But I, you know, to your point, there was a lot of good in the Illinois defense, and Chase Brown kind of were the two that stood out the most to me.
It does stink talking about Blake Corum in terms of like the fumble. And I kind of get like, that's one of those where it's not as egregious. You would hope that, you know, referees in the past 3 to 5 years have been taught now, like if you see anything that's, you're even thinking it's close, to like let that go. It sucks that that didn't happen. But I mean, like, even that play aside, like Blake Corum is like, if he's 100% healthy for the Ohio State game, which he probably isn't, but if he goes off for, you know, a similar production and multiple touchdowns and Michigan wins, he might win the Heisman just based off that. Like, he has had that good of a year. So I wouldn't take too much in terms of like, yeah, he had some pretty good, he had some monster production through three quarters against the Illini defense. But when it came time to, you know, bow up the boys, you know, the defense, that's the other thing that sucks so much too, is like, the defense went into the big house and like, yes, they get after that first touchdown, like you said, Mikey, like you think it'd be a long day, and they absolutely stood on their heads. And that effort, it's not wasted, because like, that's good tape and that's something that you can use to sell. I get all that, but it just sucks so bad, because like, they had it, they did their job, and the offense did their job in terms of, you know, crawling back enough. But just, yeah, it was the perfect confluence of that. And then like, you know, Danny, you mentioned the wind, so then you're punting into the wind, and then they're getting all this good field position, and it's just, yeah. But yeah, the good in terms of the defense, you know, standing on their heads and, you know, taking care of business. I think that the law firm, my pick of the week, was all like, they did well when they needed to. But yeah, it was just that was tough.
I will say, this is probably one of the great teams of, you know, Illini football teams in my lifetime, and it was a team that no one really expected to do what they did. And I just, regardless of the outcomes in a couple of these really close games, like, we're so close to having one of the most unbelievable, you know, underdog stories of a season of all time in college football. And instead you're, you know, you're hoping to get to 8 wins and then maybe 9 in a bowl game. But I just want to take the time to say that I love this football team, and they've been unbelievable all year. And regardless of a couple of the results, like, they've time and time again answer the bell. And, you know, it's hard to sit here and critique, or, you know, really anything they've done, because, you know, to me, it feels like they've overachieved.
Yeah, it's almost like we're getting to the point now where, you know, we're over critiquing based off the success that they had, yet none of us thought they were going to have this success. If you guys can wrap your head around that.
We move the goalposts on them.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's a fun team to watch. I think I mentioned in the season preview way back in like August, how in an interview, Bielema said, you know, he feels like this is a good team, but, you know, the record, don't be surprised if the record doesn't show it. And the record is showing it. You know, I feel like we've had some quality wins. We've definitely played some, you know, games on Saturdays where we've dominated teams that have, you know, dominated us for the past 20 plus years. So it, you know, all this, you know, negativity, three straight losses, you know, this team, this 2022 team, has really set the foundation for, you know, what the program is to come. And, you know, they're a hell of a good time to watch. You know, their relationship with the coaches, you know, I saw an interview with Ryan Walters post game press conference. They asked him about Witherspoon's PI penalty. I'm not sure if you guys saw that. And he said, and I quote, so part of my French, like, I would tell him to do that shit again, because that's how we coach it. And that just goes to show, you know, he could have easily hung his guy out there to dry, but you know, he's got his back. That locker room's tight. You know, this is a team that all of Illini Nation should, you know, and will continue to root for, because they've proved a lot of us wrong. And, you know, it's, I always look forward to Saturdays, you know, even coming off two games losing, because I think this team has a chance to win.
Yeah, I definitely don't want it to get lost in, like, you know, complaining about, you know, the conservative mentality, which I, like, I do think there are gripes. Like, I think that's a gripe. I think, like, you know, getting away from sneaking in on third or fourth and one, especially this past game, like, I don't know what happened in that stretch of games where we were just going for it on every fourth and one and sneaking. It was awesome. Yeah, like, was, yeah, great. Those are, yeah, that was sweet. Yeah. Like, can we go back to that, please? But at the same time, like, there's always going to be critiques and concerns because it's college football. But at the same time, if you, like, you know, take a step back and you realize, like, a lot of these problems are fixable. Some of those, like, I think, you know, might be more endemic of, like, the coaching staff. But if you look at, like, the players, it's like, yeah, you know, we got it. Luckily, we have, you know, in-state top kickers and punters coming in. And we have, you know, O-line classes that, you know, Bielema's going to stack. You know that he's going to do that. And not to say that the O-line has been, you know, bad this year, but just, you know, getting guys in the program and continuity and, you know, building them from freshmen rather than trying to take guys who are, you know, either JUCOs or juniors or, you know, previous regimes. Like, those are things that can be fixable. You know, he's going to get, like, the defense, even just the turnover from last year, thinking like, oh, we're losing all this production. And then it's been super productive this year. Like, yeah, we're probably going to be like, we might be down a couple draft picks on this year's defense going into next year. I'm not saying it's going to be a better defense, but if you retain Ryan Walters and, you know, you develop the guys the way that they've shown, it's like, there's so many good things to like about it, which makes this, like, these past couple weeks so frustrating, because, you know, they would get to see the fruits of their labor, because this team will never be this team again. And even though we can appreciate it and love it for what it is, I don't want to say, like, my heart hurts for them, but, like, it sucks, because as a basketball school, like, the past couple weeks, there have been people who are like, oh yeah, like, I'm just going to be out on that, or, like, not care as much and not appreciate that Devin Witherspoon just played an unbelievable game. Like, people are going to look at that flag and be like, oh, what, like, a boneheaded play, even though it was so dumb that they even called that. But, like, he was unbelievable. And, like, there are people, not that they didn't watch, but just, like, not as tuned in or as attuned or as caring as much, or even, like, the Northwestern game. Like, not that I'm, like, crapping on other fans, or it just stinks for, I feel for the players, because this is such a special team, and, like, people are just going to kind of revert. And those are scars that will heal over time, hopefully, as Brett Bielema keeps building the program up. But, yeah, it's just, it's amazing to, like, yes, we have our gripes, but then the context of, like, this season is unbelievable is also really cool. So we can have both.
Yeah, you mentioned Spoon. It's like he and Chase Brown kind of had Io Kofi type seasons, but because it's football, I feel like they don't get that same recognition or treatment. And it's obviously a little different in a sport where there's 11 people on the field instead of five on the court. But, like, that's how good of a season both those guys have had that you can make that comparison. And, you know, we're talking about guys who should be, in my opinion, you know, first team or second team All-Americans and
first
team All Big Ten. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to have that incredible of a season is, you know, something that'll be there forever. And, you know, I don't know how they'll get their recognition, and, you know, probably not getting their numbers retired on the football field, but, you know, we'll, as Illini fans, we'll remember them for a long time.
When we're podcasting, you know, for the next 30 years, we'll make sure to, like, tell all the youngins how sweet Devin Witherspoon and Chase Brown were. And that they don't remember when they're spoiled.
You see that all pro Devin Witherspoon? He was a former Illini.
Yeah. I remember when refs didn't know how to ref him.
Yeah. 30 years from now, we'll have robots out there refing. All the calls we're complaining about will be taken care of.
We still won't know what a catch is, though. That'll be forever.
It's true.
Well, they could put, like, a sensor in the ball and they'll know, like, did it touch the ground? How much weight of it touched the ground? You know, like, there's
put Mikey on the rules committee. Get him involved, folks.
Well, I always thought this is going to be a very random tangent, but I always thought, like, why couldn't they put like a little sensor in the ball, and the sensor connects to the yard marker, so you know if it gets across there that it's a first down.
Well, with like, the World Cup on, like, you know, they do that video review, and you look at like tennis, and they have that Hawkeye technology where it can see exactly where a ball landed within like a millimeter of the end line or the back line. So it's like
K zone in baseball.
K zone, like we're moving in that direction in most other sports, but it hasn't quite infiltrated the football field just yet. We just got the pylon cam to look at, so you know, we need
sky cam.
Yeah, the sky
baby
cam.
Steps.
Yeah.
We need to, I think those Thursday night football broadcasts on Amazon have that new Amazon technology where they're tracking players, how long they've run across the field and all that too. So I think technology is slowly infiltrating the game. Hopefully they'll figure out a way to referee the Illini in the future, because we'd have a couple Big Ten championships in the trophy case if that were the case. All right. We'll leave it at that. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Field Pass. We appreciate you following along all year. You know, we got one more regular season game and then a bowl game to preview and recap. So stick around for those.
We might even have a Big Ten championship. Who knows?
Just a little tease. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Go Illini.